He knows what it's like to be ostracized and persecuted, ignored and ridiculed and laughed at. But he also knows what it's like to be in an incredible position of authority and blessing. He knows what it's like to find himself heading off in a totally wrong direction. And he knows the power of someone who lifts him out of thick mud, as it were, and puts him in a safe place. He's seen powerful nations rise up, and he's seen powerful people fall. And here he is, a king in Israel. And throughout this man's life, there has always been that constant awareness that God is on the scene, that God has not given up on him, and the awareness that all he has ever been able to do, from dealing with pagan heroes such as Goliath, to molding a nation, was through the hand of God. Come what may, through hell and high water, this man knows power. And in the psalm we're going to read together, David speaks of this power, whilst not ignoring the presence, that is, the closeness of God. And we're going to see how it is that David doesn't ignore the closeness of God, because he constantly refers to God as the Lord. That is the covenant head. That is the one who has drawn close, the one who has stooped low, the one who has entered into a relationship with his people. The Lord. Elsewhere in Scripture we read, the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Elsewhere, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to those who seek him. To know power is to trust God, to seek him. And so David, in this particular psalm, constantly speaks of God as the Lord, really telling us that this Lord is the one who is present. But we also find David speaking of the power and the movement of God in a language that we can easily picture if we choose to, the language of creation. David speaks of the voice of the Lord thundering over creation, of flashes of lightning, of deserts shaking, of mighty cedars shattering. The Lord seated over the flood waters as the one true, legitimate power, authority, and judge over all. And then at the very end of this short psalm, we'll have some words which we briefly comment on, because we see this powerful, creative, dynamic being turning around and saying, I want to bless you. I want to strengthen you. I want to encourage you. So now that you have an idea of where we're going, maybe you could prepare your heart right now for reading this psalm, so that whatever God wants you to receive, even from just reading it, would be given to you by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So over to you. Just spend a minute in prayer. Say, Lord, I'm about to read a psalm. And I ask that you would touch me with it and that you would open my eyes. I want to say I'm ready to receive. If there's anything offensive in my life, forgive me. I want to receive. Let's just do that. Amen. Can we have Psalm 29 up, please? Let's just look at that. Let's read it slowly together. A Psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf. Syrian, that's Mount Hermon, like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Can we get that up, the whole psalm? You don't know. Okay. No, never mind. Well, it should be able to come up another way. Just think of that. The power that you see there. Would you agree there's a power there? Would you agree with that, church? Yes. And we see the power and we also see the closeness of God in that term, Lord, isn't it? Somebody read out the last verse, please. Just really lead it out nice and loud. Come on, nice and loud. The last verse, because we've got this picture of power and authority and movement, and all that God is. And then we come to this last verse, which reads what? Okay. So the Lord gives strength to his people. Strength is not automatic from God, is it? You don't automatically have strength from God. Because it speaks of a relationship. And in a relationship, we have to be prepared to do what? To receive. To spend time with God and receive. Spiritual strength and peace are a gift because verse 11 tells us he gives strength and he blesses with peace. But how is it that God is able to give strength? How is it that he can do that in the first place? Just think about that for a few seconds. God is able to give you personally strength because he has taken responsibility for restoring the relationship that you broke. That's incredible, isn't it? Think of borrowing a friend's car
smashing it up, and then watching how your friend restores that car at no cost to you, and you get a very, very pale idea of this giving. It's a sacrificial giving, isn't it? Somebody has given themselves for you and I to be able to receive. So the only way I can receive strength is through the sacrificial giving of another. Therefore, I would suggest to you that if I am to know that strength and I am to operate in that strength, I too must be willing to give sacrificially. We'll come to that more in a couple of weeks' time. And the result of God taking responsibility is what? Well, Paul picks up on it and says this. I'll read it out to you. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. So despite all that God has done, despite all that God has given, he still wants to give. That's quite incredible, isn't it? Of course, in John 14, we realize that the strength and the power that we are to move in is the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, the leading and the guidance of God. God wants me to walk in strength. But so often we have to be quite honest that we don't see that strength and power. What we see instead is the strength and power of man. Man who tries to fit God into his life rather than allowing God to draw him or her out of their existence and into his life. There are those, sadly, who never seem to change. They had a temper 10 years ago, and they've still got a temper now. How does that speak of the power of God? Well, it doesn't, does it? There are those who know that God forgives them, but 10 years on, they can't quite see that God has forgiven them. How does that speak of the power of God? It doesn't. There are those who have constantly been keen to tell other people how to live their lives, but there is not one iota of change in their own 10 years later. That could be me with certain issues. That could be you with certain issues. But the truth is that it can be all of us, can't it? And David comes along and talks about the wonder and the power of God. And in a sense, he could almost be saying, don't you get it? God gives strength if you come to him the right way. Strength to overcome all that would want to crush you in your heart and in your mind. And the Lord wants to bless his people with peace. So how do we forego that peace? Because it's not automatic. Well, a couple of examples from Israel's history show us very clearly how you can be and how I can be. I'll read you words from Exodus. God had taken his people out of Egypt in a dynamic, dramatic, incredible way, slaves out of darkness and into light. And yet when they're out in the desert, we read this. The Israelites said, if only we'd died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you've brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Preoccupied with self. Concerned about having their own needs met, their own food, their own shelter, but not seeing the bigger picture. How dare we try and squeeze God into our life? How gracious he is that he is still present. Well, I'll give you 5 minutes on the way to work, God, but not any more than that. Hey, I'm going through difficulty today. Could you be a doctor for me, please? I need a spiritual guru because I've got to fix this thing in my finances and my home. And God says, what about the people next to you? Well, yeah, I'll get round to that later. Israel preoccupied with self. And I look there and I say, you know, Lord, if I'm ever too preoccupied by myself, please forgive me. Because you want to bless me. You want me to walk in your strength. You are the one who says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Another picture from Israel, foregoing peace. Elijah went before the people there on Carmel and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. But the people said nothing. That allowed other things to creep in very, very subtly, and they weren't very good at making decisions. I can understand, in a sense, being on Carmel, not wanting to put my hand up in case something went wrong, because if it went wrong, I'm going to get squashed. But how had that come about in the first place? Through drifting. You know, we have been created to receive. We have been designed by God to receive by looking around us, by looking to him. And we are in a society which pumps out more information than at any other time in history. More television, more radio, more media than at any other time in history. Not surprising that our school children are struggling. Not surprising that people are falling off the edge, so to speak. Because we have been designed to receive, and very, very subtly, if we're not careful, we find that we're receiving from the wrong places. We become a little bit indecisive about serving God. Our vision becomes a little bit distorted, a little bit blurred, but we don't seem to know that we need glasses. That was certainly me. I didn't want glasses. I never want to see them to take them off every time I can now. I didn't want that. I was so angry when my optician said, well, you're 40 years old now, Jem, you've done pretty well. What did I do? I just turned around and said, well, how old are you then? You know, that we had a Josh and a joke about it and that sort of thing. But I had to admit that when I put my glasses on, the picture that I thought was so crystal clear was actually suddenly crystal clear. And that what I'd been looking at wasn't really crystal clear. I wonder how much we're looking at that we think is crystal clear and isn't crystal clear. Because we fail to take into consideration that God wants to deal with us where we live most of our lives. Where's that? Pardon? It's in your heart. It's in our hearts and in our minds, isn't it? It's in our hearts and minds. And so I look at this psalm. And I see the power and the majesty and the awesomeness of God. It's almost like you see this incredibly powerful, dynamic being doing all these amazing things. And you can imagine somebody out there, you think, oh my goodness, look at that. Whoa, yeah. Can you capture that? Do you know what I mean? Can you capture a tree exploding, as it were? Deserts moving, as it were? The flooding of a world? God coming in absolute authority. You capture that and you think, phew. And you see this person doing that. And then it's like he comes right close and says, and I want to give you strength. want to bless you with peace. I want to give you strength. And the way I can do that, Jack, is because I was willing to be smashed and beaten and trashed and ridiculed and ostracized and isolated so that you could know, could receive, could drink in, could eat, could engage with the strength and the power and the peace of my presence. So what would we say in conclusion? Firstly, God has never left you nor forsaken you. Do you realize that? If things go wrong, we've let something get in the way. God doesn't wander. So that's the first point. God does not wander. Guess who does? We do. Secondly, don't blame others for where you are. It's very easy to become a victim, isn't it? Take personal responsibility for your own thoughts and actions. God's not going to run you down when you do that. God's not going to write you off. God's not trying to make you feel bad. God actually wants to uplift you and restore you. Thirdly, recognize it's okay to be vulnerable. Be honest about your thinking. If you haven't had a victory over temper or things like that in the last 10 years, be honest to God. Don't turn around and say, I was born like that. He's wired like that. That's not the way God designed you. Fourthly, don't try and fit God into your life. Oh, I know what we say, you know, Lord, help me with this and help me with that, and that's right. But if we're not very careful, it drags into, can you fit into my version of the day? Instead of, this is the day that the Lord has made. Will you lift me into your day that I may gain from it? I know that I've got this pressing need. I know that you're there. Fifthly, when did you ask God last to help you have a better quiet time? When did you last ask God to help you reading the Bible? Do you read it every day? It's food. I'll say this on record. I believe 95% of the psychological problems that we have in any Christian community would be dealt with if people read their Bibles with a desire to do nothing other than serve God. Not to get fixed, not to get better, but to serve God. I'll say that again. I firmly believe, I'm utterly convinced that over 95% of the psychological problems that people go through would be dealt with in power and strength and anointing if people would take seriously reading the Word of God for the purpose of serving Him first. Did you hear that? I believe that with all my heart, with every atom of my being, I believe that. Because I know this, God wants to give. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty you may be facing, no matter how you may be struggling, even if you've fallen flat on your face, and you know with absolute certainty that it is your fault and yours alone, and when you've stopped blaming the people around you and the situations in your past and things like that, and you accept that sheer vulnerability of, Lord, it is totally and utterly my doing. Then turn and say, but I know that you want to give. I know that you want to give me strength. I know you want to bless me with peace. So I confess yet again. I seek yet again. I submit yet again that I may serve you and receive great blessing. Just close your eyes, prepare your hearts, because I'm going to read that psalm again. On the basis of what we've heard, talk to God. Don't sit there and try and intellectualize it. Don't think, oh, well, that's a simple message, it's not for me. I want to tell you this. If you're sitting here today, it is for you. And it is for me. So just ask God to help you to make of it what you will, to show you his cherished son or cherished daughter, to show you what he wants you personally to do about it, so that you may receive, because God wants to give more of himself. Now just relax, and I'll read this psalm out again. Capture the imagery in your mind. Think of the things that you hear about after the first couple of verses. And recognize afresh in that last verse what God desires for you. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And let's remain in prayer. Now pray for people that you know that you would like to see experience more of his strength and blessing. Take what we have looked at, reminded ourselves about, and turn and bless others. Think of people that you know. Let's just do that.